Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, July the 30th, of an extremely warm day here in North Texas. At 5 o'clock, just to give you an idea, it was 100 degrees outside with a heat index of 104. I don't know what that's like. I don't know how you describe it, I should say. I know what it's like. You feel like going in the swimming pool. But it's just incredibly hot. And if you're lucky enough to park your car in a shaded neighborhood, or at least a inside parking lot where your car is not sitting outside the whole day, if you're lucky enough to do that, you know, when you come out of your office at 6 o'clock, your car is at least going to be drivable. But I think most people in this area, their car is outside. And then when they come out at 5:30, 6 o'clock, I mean, the car is like an oven. And then it takes a pretty good time for that air conditioning to run. You're also sitting in the middle of traffic. So anyway, just a difficult day, a difficult hot day, I should say, here in North Texas. But we will survive. We will survive. As we always do. Today we're going to talk more about this feud between President Trump and Elijah Cummings, Representative Cummings of Maryland. I think he represents a district around the Baltimore area. I'm not sure he's the only congressman in the Baltimore area, but I think he represents a big chunk of it. And there's been a lot of back and forth on this, and it's an interesting debate, and I think one we should be having in the country about the state of our inner cities. Our inner cities are a disaster, and nobody is suffering more than African Americans who are stuck in these inner cities. We're also going to talk a little bit about the debate and about identity politics, once again, boomeranging on the Democrats. Very interesting situation with identity politics. Let me begin with the debate. I did not have an opportunity to watch the first debate. I mean, I've picked up bits and pieces from some things here and there. I happened to be teaching a class at the time that the debate was on. I intend to watch it tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, and then hopefully I'll have a chance to catch the second debate, which I think is going to be more important, because I think the second debate, the nominee for the party is more likely to come from the second group than from the first group. But as I understand what happened in the first debate, this is the reports that I'm getting, things that I'm reading in some of the reports and some of the media coverage. What happened is that basically you had one or two people, in this case Senator Warren and Senator Sanders, basically defending their liberal positions. Then you had like seven or eight other candidates who are desperately trying to get attention. I think at one point the former governor of Colorado was attacking the Democrats, saying that if we talk about Medicare for all and if we talk about all these things, the Green Deal, we're just going to FedEx the election for President Trump. He's actually right about that, but I'm not sure he's the right candidate to make that point. But I think it was more or less two people arguing with each other to see who's more liberal, meaning Senator Sanders and Senator Warren. And then you have eight people who are desperately trying to hang in there, And who's going to survive? I don't know, because I think in September, they changed the rules and they'd make it more. I think that this group of 20 is going to be reduced to, I think, six or seven come September. So I think you'll see a lot of these people gone by then. And as I say, I think the ones in the second debate, highlighted by former Vice President Biden and Senator Harris and of course Senator Sanders and Senator Warren in this first debate, and maybe a couple of others that make it, but I see a lot of people just disappearing, because it's very tough. I mean, it's very tough. This is a party that doesn't seem to have a message other than we hate Trump. And then when they start getting into policy issues, they go very liberal. And I don't think even the Democrats are as liberal as these candidates are. And in fact, I believe the reason that former Vice President Biden seems to be leading in most of these polls is because I think he's become the alternative to this liberal madness that you're seeing in the party. I'm not saying that, you know, former Vice President Biden is going to win the nomination, because I think he's got some challenges ahead of him. But I think a lot of Democrats are going to him because they see him as sort of a steady hand, more of a centrist, in a party that has gone crazy left. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens after the second debate. But I can tell you that I don't see anybody in this party right now who can defeat President Trump. With the economy the way it is, I think it's going to be very difficult. And as I've said over and over and over again, this is really an election that only Donald Trump can lose. Donald Trump could lose the election by saying something stupid or by going off, you know, off the rails or whatever, and turning off people. That could happen. That could happen. But as far as I can see, everything I've seen so far would suggest to me that Donald Trump is going to be reelected as president of the United States, because I just don't see any of these Democrats able to put together a campaign and then move to the center and campaign against Trump. I don't see how you do that after all the pandering, to the left that we've been seeing from the Democrats. Something very interesting is going on between President Trump and Representative Cummings. And this is more than just these two men. I think that President Trump decided to pick a fight with Representative Cummings because Representative Cummings is a very partisan Democrat. This is a man who likes to play hard. He likes to hit hard. He likes to punch hard. And that's okay. Politics is often that way. But if you're going to do that, if you're going to play the game that way, you got to be ready. You got to be ready for the fact that they're going to punch back. And you're going to have to explain some things about your history as a member of Congress. And I think the biggest problem that Representative Cummings has is the district that he represents in Baltimore, which is a disaster. You know, I have a connection to Baltimore. I went to college out there, have many friends out there, and there is tremendous discontent about what's happening in the city of Baltimore from the people who live there. I mean, the fact is that Baltimore is slowly but surely just tearing itself apart. And one of the interesting issues that is coming out right now is the amount of money, that the city of Baltimore has received over the last few years. I mean, I saw a figure today. I'm just going to give you this figure. I have not confirmed this figure, but something like billions of dollars, something like $7 or $8 billion of dollars have gone in the direction of Baltimore or that area. And where is that money? Where was that money spent? I mean, where is that money? Where is the infrastructure to at least say, hey, we built a bridge? Where is the infrastructure to say, hey, we got some new buildings? Where is the infrastructure to say, look, the schools are better? The reality is the schools in Baltimore, the public schools, are a disaster. The crime is a disaster. The streets are dirty and a disaster. They cannot get anybody to serve as a police officer because nobody in their right mind wants to work for a police department. And then when you go out there and you try to enforce the law, you've got judges or city politicians who basically stab you in the back. So people are saying, no, I don't want to be a police officer in this district or in this police force. So the city is falling apart. They're losing people like crazy. They're not attracting business because ever since they had those riots a couple of years ago, a lot of businesses simply said, hey, we're out of here. We're not coming back. My business just got burned down. I'm not coming back. So the city is in a crisis. And where is Representative Cummings? Why isn't he taking a stronger leadership position and seeing how the money's spent and so on? I think that's what the problem is. Now, of course, the Democrats do what they always do, or many of them do, and that is they play the race card. Well, you're criticizing Cummings because he's black, or you're criticizing, you know, the city of Baltimore because it's run by black Democrats. No, I'm criticizing the city of Baltimore because it is a disgrace to the people who live there. And nobody is being more impacted by this terrible failure of running a city than black Americans, African Americans who are getting shortchanged by the policies of people like Representative Cummings. But if you say that, of course, you're a racist and you're not supposed to criticize Representative Cummings because he's black. Well, I'm sorry. I think we got to get over that and start holding people accountable for what they do or what they don't do. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Well, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. As I was saying at the introduction, quite a warm day here in the Dallas area, just an absolutely warm day. Let me tell you something that I just saw this evening, that a new poll came out. You know, these polls come out. I'm not a big fan of the polls at this stage of the game. The horse race polls, what they like to call, you know, Biden versus Trump. I think a lot of that polling is pretty meaningless at this point in the game because we don't know who the Democrat nominee is going to be. So we're basically saying Trump is running against hypothetical candidates, if you will. And until they nominate somebody, then I'll take a look at the polls. But over and over, we're beginning to see something very interesting, and that is that illegal immigration is jumping to the top of the list of issues that concern Americans. And in this poll that came out, it looks like illegal immigration is at the very top, 21%, and that a lot of Americans are beginning to feel like illegal immigrants are just coming over and using public services and, in a sense, taking advantage of public services. That's not 100% true. There is truth to that, but it's not 100% truth that that's what a lot of illegal immigrants do. But I think, to me, what this poll reflects is an anger on the part of the public. The public is fed up with living in a country where lawlessness appears to be the law, I mean, the order of the day, where you have cities that are simply saying, we're not going to enforce immigration laws. Well, you can't live in a country like that. I mean, eventually people are going to blow up, and that's what I think is happening when people say that 21% believe that illegal immigration is the number one issue in the country. You know, the Democrats have been really going nutty with identity politics, and I have a post about this coming out tomorrow, because now the leadership of the party is sort of getting a taste of its own medicine when it comes to identity politics. They've had to do several changes over at the DNC because they're saying there's no diversity at the DNC, that there's people running the show at the DNC. I mean, this is hilarious because they're getting rid of very good people. They're getting rid of very liberal people who apparently their only problem is that they're white. And I don't know if this is also, I mean, again, this is not a message that a lot of Americans are going to buy into. The idea that only minority qualified people should apply. Well, that's not the way you run a party, particularly a national party. You should say, hey, let's find the most qualified person. And if he is a she or she's a she or whatever, black, white, I don't care, but let's find the quality people. The Democrats are victims of their own identity politics, and now they're tearing each other up by forcing people out over at the Democrat National Committee. I mean, I guess that's what happens when everything's about race. Everything's about race. Nothing is about the content of, or the character of the person. Everything is about race. You know, Martin Luther King said he wants his sons to be judged by the contents of their character, not their skin color. Well, tell that to the Democrats, because frankly, everything is about skin color with that, much of that party. We say happy number 78 today to Paul Anka, one of the great songwriters and performers, really, of the last 50 years, one of the few people who's had a hit record in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and probably in the 80s, too, although I don't remember that one. But definitely Paul Anka, one of the great entertainers of the last 50 years. And on this day in 1956, In God We Trust was signed into law by President Eisenhower, and I think that's when it went into the currency and maybe a few other things on this day in history, In God We Trust, signed by President Eisenhower. Well, thank you for listening. Everybody have a wonderful day. This is Stuart Conklin Dallas. Good night, everybody.